Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, there is a concern of an uptick in respiratory viruses spreading nationwide. Locally, the flu kept 1,000 students out of a local Virginia high school. And of course, COVID is still ever present. It's that time of year, part of it which we hope to avoid. So what can we do to keep ourselves and our children safe and sound from flu-like symptoms and all the other illnesses that tend to pop up during the winter season? Phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. What are you doing? What are your concerns? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you. And more importantly, we want to hear from you because we have the doctor in the house, or a doctor, Dr. Marilyn Corder. She's a pediatrician and an adjunct professor at Howard University. She's joining us tonight. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Corder, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, DeMonte. My pleasure.
Well, let's start, Dr. Corder, with I mentioned RSV. What is that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting. Now, all of a sudden, RSV is in the news. But RSV was discovered in 1956, has been recognized as one of the most common causes of childhood illness. But we didn't talk a lot about it because it was mainly in those children who had problems, prematurity, chronic illnesses, et cetera. So maybe 2% of the population was aggressively affected by RSV. However, now we see in much more RSV, and it's overwhelming and stretching our health system to the limit. You know, allow me to set the stage. First, we are coming back to school unmasked. The weather's changing. It's flu time. We have common colds, and now we have RSV. And RSV likes to get into the lungs. Now, we are still in the epidemic of COVID. And so we want to make sure that we have a protection going on in terms of the what RSV is. It's respiratory syncytial virus. And the respiratory syncytial virus is now 70%, the cause of 70% of our hospitals across the nation for children.
Well, we know here locally, Children's Hospital has basically come out and said here in the district, listen, parents, unless it is an emergency, we are asking you really not to bring your children in because we're already seeing a deluge of patients coming in with respiratory issues, flu issues, and we're seeing this in Connecticut, other parts of the country. Tell me where we are with this. Is this something that we might see all throughout the nation in terms of hospitals being stressed now? Because as you mentioned, RSV, it's nothing new, but now we're actually talking about it. So,
can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. So where is that stress coming from where officials at Children's Hospital are saying, listen, you know, we already see that we're going to be overrun, so we're asking you not to bring your children here unless you think it's an emergency. So my point and question was, is this something that we may see across the country in terms of hospitals being overwhelmed?
And yes, and we are seeing it. As a matter of fact, what Children's Hospital is doing here in Washington, D.C., as also across the nation, they're talking to the pediatricians. They're talking to the urgent care. They're even speaking to the nurses in the schools. And what we're saying is, okay, make sure you seek the advice of your primary care doctor, making sure that you understand you want to treat the symptoms. Certainly with RSV as well as the flu, it's the same thing, monitoring for fever, monitoring for fluid, making sure that that little one or that big one is not dehydrated. So you want to put in place a tool chest of things that we want to do and make sure we are aware. Because just like a common cold, RSV will start with some fever, some upper respiratory runny nose, but it continues on. And we're hearing 12-hour waits in the emergency rooms, and the hospitals are saying, don't come unless you're having difficulty breathing. So the CDC reports are saying, unless it's something very here and the temperature is rising and the child is lethargic, we can treat this at home, but we want to be very knowledgeable of how to treat it and what to look out for.
All right. I like that because we want the callers and our listeners to know how to treat it. But you use the term, and I want to go back to this. You say what's in our tool chest. So especially for parents, you know, with children, especially young children, what should be in the tool chest?
Well, one thing you want to make sure is you have hydration. You have your fluids in. You have your thermometer. You know, it's so important to have a thermometer that works. Let's get real basic. You want to make sure.
Before you continue on that, I'm going to sort of be ignorant. You know, unless it's one that's battery operated, when you say that works, or do non-battery operated thermometers sometimes not work and we don't pay attention to that?
Well, you got to know how to read it, and you have to make sure it is working, that it's not beep, beep, beep with something that says low, meaning the battery is low.
Okay.
So you want to test it before you have to really rely on it. And you want to also treat the symptoms. And when I say treat the symptoms, I don't want you to overwhelm your child. But there are things, over-the-counter things. There are things like humidifier. There are things like chest rub, you know, some basic honey and tea, things that you can do to help that little one or that big one be more comfortable. You want to make sure that you're wiping down the counters. You want to make sure that you also hand washing. Because one child, one person in the family come into the house with RSV, the whole family's at risk because it's respiratory borne. In other words, a sneeze, a cough, a rubbing of the nose. Next thing, someone has conjunctivitis. That's it. The mucus in the eyes. The person has then a sore throat, a cough. And when you get the cough, you've already been contagious 2 days before the cough comes, which it's like, well, where did I get this from? And how did it spread? Well, it's the droplets. And so you want to teach your child to use a tissue to blow their nose, get rid of the tissue, don't have the tissues laying around, cough into your arm, and, you know, hand wash and try to stay away from those who are ill. Mask wearing.
I was going to get to that. Should we, well, before I let you answer that, let me make sure I put the phone lines back out there again. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about, look, the winter season is coming, flu season is coming, COVID is still out there. We're talking about this issue of RSV. The more you know, the more you can protect yourself. So give us a call with your questions or comments, 202-319-7810. Dr. Marilyn Corder is with us. Dr. Corder, you mentioned mask, and I wanted to ask you about that. Is that even more important now, as the winter season comes, that we should be wearing masks even beyond sort of trying to prevent the spread of COVID? Because have masks become the norm now, and can we stay healthier by wearing a mask?
Briante, I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm saying wear your mask, wear your mask, wear your mask. Last year, we didn't see the flu. Mm-hmm. We saw very few cases because what did we do? We wore our mask. And so it proved scientifically that the mask makes sense, that wearing the mask works. Well, the mandate has been lifted. And of course, we were mask fatigue, COVID fatigue, but we're paying the price. And we usually don't see RSV until late in the fall, early winter. We saw it, we're beginning to see it in August and September. That's unprecedented. And that's because of all of the exposure without wearing the mask. And the spread became to the point where now we are seeing pneumonias, bronchiolitis, because what RSV loves to do is attack what we call the syncytial parts of the lungs, which are your bronchioles. So that's why they're coughing. But it's a dry cough versus a wet cough. That's why we're concerned with the respiratory rate. So the mask makes sense, and I encourage all my patients, my family members, to wear their mask.
But before we go to the phone lines, Dr. Corder, I do want to ask this, though. If those numbers are going up, are they abnormal, or is this just the normal rate we see, but they just seem like that they're more dramatic because of the mask wearing in the last 2 years that they had gone down? But say, you know, we never had this sort of COVID issue where we had to wear a mask. Would the numbers that we're seeing now with the flu and RSV pretty much just be normal, what we see in terms of illnesses. Is this that out of the normal, I guess is what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It is.
To the point, it is. 70% of the hospitalization is due to RSV. We've never seen that. It is unprecedented. And, you know, we have theories about that because we've been locked in. We've been in a bubble. Our immune system hasn't been challenged for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We come out. It's almost like a newborn. And our ongoing immune system that's usually on guard has been relaxed. Mm-hmm. So we get this exposure that we didn't have for 2 years bombarding, and it hit us, and now it's truly a tridemic. You know, you have mm-hmm. the flu. We still have COVID. We had 4 cases of COVID just the other day that were called into the office. So we still have COVID. We have flu. Flu is here, and we add that we have RSV.
And that's especially dangerous for children. So we're going to get more into that, but let's go to the phone lines and we'll get back to focusing on that. Let's go to Stephen calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Yes. I guess my question is, you know, in my home, I have a 9-month-old and a 9-year-old, and my 9-year-old still wears his mask at school, but the 9-month-old, he's going to daycare, and he recently came down with a cough and kind of runny nose. And I guess with RSV, is that necessarily, would it have to be diagnosed? He, unfortunately, he got over it this weekend, but he still kind of has a cough, and, he's eating and drinking, so I'm not really concerned about, about his wellness. I mean, he seems to be getting better, but the question is, is RSV, is that something that has to be diagnosed by a doctor?
All right. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Great question. It's a clinical assessment type of thing. And many children who have a cough and cold around this time with the runny nose, having no other symptoms of allergies, having no other illness and condition, and we're seeing it in daycares or the different, how it spreads, most of the time it's a mild case of RSV. Most RSV in the past have been mild. And healthy children, adults, it resolves on its own because it is a virus. So many a time when they come to the doctors or they're seen by the telehealth, et cetera, it's a mild case because we treat it the same way. It's one of the viruses that causes cold symptoms. So indeed, perhaps that may have been, we say winter cold, fall cold, but it may have been part of it, an RSV, that your child, be it healthy, doesn't have any problems in terms of illnesses and chronic illnesses, just got over it because it is a virus.
And there is, thank you so much, Stephen. And there is no vaccine for RSV, correct?
Vermonte, you said, I was just going to say there is no vaccine. And because it's a virus, so I don't want to, have everyone out there, oh my God, RSV. We get 90% in the past, it's over. You've had it. It's a cold. It can resurge depending upon who's in the daycare still coughing. That's why we say try to keep your child home if your child is sick, or stay home from work or school if you're ill. But there's no vaccine. And I tell you what, I think more you have it, the more you build up an immunity, because that's where we've been lacking over the past 2 years.
Well, see, I was going to ask you about that because you mentioned earlier, because, we've been inside and we've had masks and, we haven't built up an immunity for it. And that's really what we want to do. And you really have to catch something to be able to build up an immunity to it. Correct?
Yes.
So this is kind of a catch-22. It's almost like, well, you need to get sick to be able to then fight it down the road, right?
And true, but right now we're having it in such a exponential degree that right now with the vaccines, with the flu vaccine, et cetera, you want to gradually, as opposed to, have an onslaught, have exposure.
All right.
If that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. It does. Again, I'm going to go back to the toolkit. Let me get out the phone line again. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you have a question for Dr. Corder, you have a comment about maybe some of the things that you are doing specifically too with your children or the young people that you're caring for that can help sort of expand this conversation, we want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. Dr. Corder, basic stuff that should be in our toolkit, Motrin, Tylenol. I mean, you mentioned humidifiers and thermometers, but are there specific types of drugs that we should be giving, you know, specifically children to help combat the flu and RSV, which I guess is part of the flu? Am I reading that correctly?
Well, it's like the flu. It's the twin of the flu.
It's the twin of the flu,
even though
right.
The other day, one of my patients went to the urgent care, and she was insisting on them diagnosing if it's RSV or the flu. So the doctor said, and rightfully so, it's the same treatment, if it's the flu or RSV. So the home remedies are important. You know, use a cool mist humidifier or vaporizer. That helps create moisture in the air, and that relieves a lot of the congestion and coughing. You want to make sure that plenty of fluids. Don't worry about the child not eating all their dinner and all the food that you're trying to give them.
Ooh,
the
that's tough. That's a tough thing, Dr. Corder, you know.
I know, but the fluids are important to prevent dehydration.
Because
guess what? When you're coughing, you're burning more fluid than usual. So it's easy to get dehydrated. And you want to make sure that the fluids that you give are not milk and dairy products. There would be water, the teas, the different naturopathic, you know, the juices, the apple juice, because that will loosen the secretion. So soups and popsicles are great alternatives to children when they don't want to drink plain water, but they want to get the fluid in.
And
saline drops, that's like the salt water saline spray. Pain relievers, Tylenol. And over-the-counter, sometimes cough syrups, like more the naturals. I'm not going to name one, but, you know, you want to help the cough. But if you have asthma,
right. Hold. I want you to hold that thought, Dr. Corder, because we got to go to break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, that's you, Daryl, Angela, and Hassan. Stay right there. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The Original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM and SiriusXM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher, and tonight we're talking about trying to keep your kids safe, especially the young folks during this season that's coming up. We've got RSV, which is respiratory issues. We've got the flu. We still have to be concerned about COVID. How do we keep ourselves on the defense of these illnesses, especially the airborne illnesses, some which are tough to avoid, but if we take the right precautions, according to Dr. Marilyn Corder, who is with us, we have a better chance of fighting off some of these illnesses. Dr. Corder is a pediatrician and adjunct professor at Howard University. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Angela is calling from Southeast D.C. Go right ahead, Angela, with your question or comment.
Good evening, Bramante. Good evening, Dr. Corder.
Good evening.
So I have two things. My question is about children who have asthma. I have a son that has asthma, and we have not had any problems the last 3 years. But now that he's back in school and the weather's about to change, I'm a little concerned about giving him his rescue inhaler. We still give him the daily inhaler every day. We started that back up when school started. But the rescue inhaler, to me, really opens up his chest, and I'm worried about these airborne viruses that are going around. And my comment about what's in my toolbox, I'm taking it all the way back to my grandmother. I'm giving out cod liver oil pills early the other day with an orange juice chaser.
Oh, Angela.
Good old Father John.
Oh, next you're going to talk about the 3 6s that my mother used to talk about she took. But we won't go there. But so, Dr. Corder, Angela is ready, but she picked up on what you were starting to talk about in terms of children with asthma.
Can you talk a little bit
about what Angela is doing and some of her concerns that she has?
And Angela, you are well versed and absolutely right. You know, we talk about the rescue medicine, and we talk about the ongoing inhaled steroid medicine for our children who get bronchitis and who have asthma, this time of year sometimes, and it's not the great time because of what's happening with the weather changing and the lungs. Now, what ends up happening, you're right, with the albuterol, with the rescue, it opens up the lungs. However, Angela, you, what you want to do is to make sure that those lungs are open and not closed, because respiratory virus, RSV, colds, as well as, of course, flu, loves the lungs, and it will attack the lungs. And when the rescue medicine is allowing the lungs to open up and get rid of and begin to, I call it expedited in terms of gone versus tighten it up, and it just sits there and becomes a bronchitis all the way to a pneumonia. But you're absolutely right. Things like the old-fashioned, the vitamin C, the cod liver oil, et cetera, those help. And honestly, you know, even the teas, those, they are very good for helping your immune system. So keep that up, and you're well-versed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you.
And one thing, you know, our news director told me today, she drinks tea with no sugar in it, which I can't believe anybody could actually drink tea with no sugar in it. But since she had talked about that, does sugar work against what you want to do when you're trying to sort of get your kids up and running again? So if you want to give them tea, can you put a little sugar in it? Because I know sugar can sort of work against, healing folks in all form and fashions, but especially when you've got sort of respiratory issues and colds.
Well, yes, and, you know, it's interesting, Vermonte, because you want them to take it, but sometimes the taste of it is not so
exactly
attractive. But the less the sugar, the better. You could do a little lemon. You know, sometimes, and if you do anything sweet, you could do a little honey, because what mm-hmm. that also does, it coats that airway. I have to mention zinc, because zinc, lozenges, zinc, vitamins, that really helps from the whole respiratory tract, from your taste buds, the oral cavity as well. And that's important because, as we said in the beginning, this best RSV and flu is spread by respiratory droplets. That means as you touch things, if someone, the countertop, if someone just sneezed and put their hand there, doorknobs, et cetera, wipe down, wipe your hands. The hand sanitizers, I've seen less and less of it, bring it back. Okay, it's very important to wipe your hands before you start touching your eyes, et cetera, and begin to become self-infected.
All right, Angela, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much for your call. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and go to Daryl, who's calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Daryl, with your question or comment.
Hey, how you guys doing today? And actually, Dr. Quarters, my son's doctor, too, her miracle baby, okay. as you call him. But listen, my question, Dr. Quarter, is there any, you know, vitamin supplements that will help with this RSV? The reason why I'm asking, basically, I've been relying on the Dimetapp. I can't quite for sure say that he has RSV, but it seems like it's more than just a common cold, but it's not quite the flu. And he's been struggling with that, you know, for a few days now. So is there any vitamin supplements or something else that we can take that's, you know, appropriate for kids that's not adult strength? That will help with that, overcoming that.
Great question, Daryl.
Right. And, you know, even some of the aromatherapies, you know, eucalyptus. Years ago we had the Vicks chest rub, but now we have something that's milder, the chest rub. We want to make sure that they're sitting up, that you have your cool mist humidifier. And the things such as elderberry. You know, you can get the little mixtures, the vitamin C. There's even the... it's a little blend that you open up the little package and you put your vitamin C plus immune. Those are all still good, very much so. So, yes, fluids, the main thing is fluids, because one thing, again, often a child is dehydrated if they're not drinking enough fluids, especially during this flu and RSV. And you're right, the cold, you're going to get cold anyway. We'll call it fall, winter cold. But when it continues to linger and that cough that sometimes is, it's unkind, it's unrelenting. You're coughing, and the child is coughing so much they're vomiting. Then that's when we say, this is more likely RSV.
All right. Thank you so much, Daryl, and keep doing what you're doing. Sounds like you're doing the right things. Appreciate your call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about making sure we're taking care of our little ones during this season where the flu is ramping up, RSV is happening, and hospitals are asking parents not to bring their little ones in unless it's strictly an emergency. They're seeing an uptick in young patients coming into the hospital, and of course COVID is still out there. This is the Insight segment. Our guest tonight is Dr. Marilyn Corder. She's a pediatrician and adjunct professor at Howard University. Dr. Corder, one of the things that's popping up recently is hand and foot mouth disease, and this is among children, and we're seeing it in daycare. How do you protect the smallest of the small, those who really can't wear masks, and might be putting everything in their mouths that we can sort of stop them from putting in their mouths? You know, they're quick. They're picking up different things here and there. So how about that issue, and what can we do about sort of that hand and foot mouth disease?
Right.
I'd get it right at some point.
It's okay. It's okay, and you're exactly right. And we see that mainly in toddlers and the younger children. And it's almost, I call it a junior chickenpox. When I say a junior chickenpox, it comes on usually with a few upper respiratory symptoms, a day or two ahead of time where they have a little cold, a little runny nose, but they're still busy. They're still active. They're not so sickly as some of the other viruses. And then before you realize it, you have one or two little red spots, usually around the mouth. But then when you look at the hands, the dorsal part, and then the palms, and then the feet, but you often see it on the knees. It's almost at the junctures. It resolves, and it looks worse than what it is. When I say it, you can have spots everywhere, but of course the daycare, the teachers will say don't come back until all those areas are dried up. How do you prevent it? Well, the main thing, and I've seen this in lots of communities, when one child has it, you quickly, as the schools have done in daycare, take the child away so that the others will not get it. But that, again, is a virus. But we do see it. Yes, we do. And we just came out of the season mainly for the hand, foot, mouth disease.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight, again, we were talking about making sure we protect the young ones during this flu season, as COVID is still among us, and RSV is on us. It's Dr. Corder, is it really a new name just for something that's old and just been around? We've just kind of put this acronym sort of out there now where it's being talked about, but it's just that we're putting a sort of a name to it for folks out there. I know the doctors know all about it. I had never really heard of RSV. So why is it that we're actually talking about RSV if it's something that's been around forever?
And you're right. And it has been around, like, as old as I am. It's 1956. But it just didn't make the headlines because it only affected the very, very fragile, medically fragile children, and thus the premature children. But it's been there, but now it's making headline news because it is affecting tenfold of the children and the young people.
Important clarification to make on that. And when we're talking about kids, you know, as we're talking in terms of caring for them, making sure they're okay, what is the age range that you would say, okay, this is the vital age range where we really have to zero in and keep an eye on children? What would you say that age would be, or those ages, and what range?
Absolutely. Infants, less than 6 months. It's so important to make sure that you're watching how they're breathing, you're watching if there's increase in fatigue, sleeping a lot, and not drinking. So the key area, the main population of our concern is children less than 6 months. However, across the board, most of the hospitalizations are for those children who are 2 years and younger. But the super high risk are the infants.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the youngest of the young, but I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, high school, they're not quite adults yet, so they are teens, but they're still children. And so here in Virginia, we're in the district, in Stafford County, we had recently 1,000 students had missed school because of flu-like symptoms. They're gradually coming back into school. What is happening there? I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, it's late October. It's still 70-something degrees outside. Again, for the layman, you see that and go, whoa, how is that number so high in a school in October? We're not talking about that we're in January or February or late December. What is that all about, Dr. Corder?
And that was more, it's interesting. We were studying that, and that's like an outlier. But you can see in that age group, they are often still, I call it like toddlers. They're sharing everything from, you know, the coughing and sneezing. They're sharing drinks. They're sharing lots of different things in close proximity. And let there be a football game or a game that everyone is close and they're so happy to be out and about and together. So when you have three or four bad cases of RSV, it will rapidly spread, like the circle numbers, it would rapidly spread, and there, for example, the school there in Virginia.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment, and we are talking about taking care of our children, young folks, as the flu season, the winter season is coming about, and we know what comes with that: runny noses, respiratory issues often. COVID-19 is still out there. Dr. Corder, we talked to Dr. Anthony Fauci today, and I had asked him about, you know, President Biden said that we're in a global health emergency. And I asked him, you know, what that was all about. And he talked about RSV, and he talked about COVID-19 still being around. And I will say it kind of surprised me to hear the president say that we're in a global health emergency, because just a month ago he said, oh, we've got kind of COVID under control. We're moving forward. And so now we're back in that emergency state. Do you see that the same way, global? Now we're talking about worldwide.
So you know, the frontline clinicians, health care providers, often, if you talk to them, they're expressing their fatigue, they're burnt out. We have a nursing crisis in terms of a shortage of nurses. We have physicians retiring more than we have new physicians. So it's stress, and not to mention the emergency rooms. And it's just, I just call it, it's stretched to the limit, and we need to make sure that not only that we pay attention to that, that we also have the resources that are available to improve and to make sure that what we enjoy here in the United States, we continue to be able to enjoy. Because some days, I'm thinking, are we third world? Just the other day, we had 140 patients waiting in the emergency room right here at Children's National. And when I passed through there, every other person was coughing and feverish and cranky and irritable. So if you didn't have whatever you came in with, you had it by the time you left after a 9-hour wait. So we just have to make sure that we maximize what we do have and the different sites that we can expand so that those who are in need of health care gets it and not wait until it's an emergency. And so preventive care, you know, I'm a advocate for preventive care.
You are a doctor, and that's what we want. We'd like to see you, but, you know, if we don't have to see you, that's a good thing. She is Dr. Marilyn Corder. This is the Insight segment. We're going to take a quick break. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a question for the doctor, she is in the house, and she can answer all of your questions in terms of taking care of your little ones during the winter season that is just about to hit us and all that comes with that. We'll be right back after this timeout. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Our conversation tonight is about airborne illnesses, the flu, COVID, RSV, how respiratory issues with RSV, and how to keep our children safe during this season that is upcoming and it's already hitting us, and we've seen it, flu-like symptoms, at least in one school that it's hit hard in a Virginia school here right outside of the district. Phone lines are still open. Still have a few minutes to get you in if you'd like to offer a comment or have a question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Corder, we have talked about all of the things that, you know, parents and caregivers of young kids should be doing to keep our kids healthy as best we can during winter season when the flu is on us and the RSV is here. What is it that folks should not be doing that we tend to do and maybe not know this is not a good thing in terms of caring for our children?
Absolutely. They shouldn't be smoking. Let me say that. When you have cigarette smoke or whatever smoke in the environment and your child is hardly, you know, having difficulty breathing and congested for whatever, be it cold, RSV, or the flu, that even lessens their oxygenation. So secondhand smoke, you know, some people say, well, I only smoke, you know, in a different room. Well, smoking is smoking. If they're under the same roof, they're exposed. That's one thing. Number two, you want to make sure that you understand and be very clear of when it's time to go to the hospital, when it's time to call your doctor. Always know the phone number. Again, in your tool chest, you should have that, as well as a thermometer, Tylenol, Motrin. You want to be equipped and you want to be knowledgeable. And you want to know your child, you know, be it the grandparents, the parents. Understand when your child is just sleepy or lethargic, or, you know, it's time to go to bed, or has this child been sleeping all day. So those are the key things I want to make sure that you're aware of. And don't hesitate. If you think something's wrong, follow your intuition. You know, that's why, you know, one of the things I have a problem with is people waiting too long to seek help. You know, we're here in Washington, D.C., in the DMV. We can get the help we need, but you first have to ask for it. And however long, you know, how many times you have to call, make sure that you do best by your child.
Dr. Corder, are there any specific issues that communities of color with young children face that maybe other communities or groups do not? When we're talking about the subject that we're talking about tonight, caring for our children in terms of the flu, the cold, RSV, getting them to the hospital, is there anything in particular culturally that may sort of inhibit us from coming to the hospital or doing some of the things that we should be doing?
Well, the access. You know, it's interesting you should say that, Bramante, because we, you know, Ward 7 and 8 don't have the resources that the other wards have.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that. As I was chair of pediatrics as well as chief of staff at Greater Southeast, I lovingly call home. And, you know, it's just that there are times when, you know, you go to wherever clinic, et cetera, and you have the long wait and you have a job and you have three other children. Sometimes those issues can prevent or can hinder what you're trying to do for your child. So we need to make sure that as we are talking about this, that those individuals who are around those families that are in need can, you know, reach out and help and make sure that they are guided. And, you know, some of the health plans, they do have case managers. There are times when I have had to make a phone call out of care to say, Ms. Jones just can't make it, or make sure you have transportation, so that many people don't know that the insurances will transport you free, Uber, however, to your doctor's appointments, to the emergency room. And that's important to know.
In terms of gastrointestinal symptoms, are those prominent with young children? And if so, what can that signal? Can that signal different illnesses beyond what we're talking about? And is that more prevalent, gastrointestinal symptoms, with older folk? And when I mean older than the younger group that we're talking about, infants.
So, you know, it's interesting you should also say that, because we do have, I call it, the not only the gastrointestinal, but the inflammatory bowel and what we're putting in our gut and how our gut is responding to it. Of course, we can talk on and on, from starting with breastfeeding, which is easier, as well as some of the foods that we introduce to our children too young not digestible.
Mm-hmm.
But the digestive tract of a young person starts as an infant, and as we continue from there to make sure that we don't develop leaky gut, inflammatory gut, Crohn's syndrome, and the like. So we tend, sometimes our eating habits may be foods that are not the best for us, but they are what we can afford. So, you know, as much as we can prevent the food deserts and make a change and make sure that we're educating those. You don't have to have a whole lot of money to eat a good meal. You just have to plan for it.
And is it, you know, I've mentioned winter months, so we're technically not in the winter months right now. Is it still too early to say we haven't gotten into the winter? Because when you hear winter months, it's almost like I think it's a reflexive thing where you know, okay, let me sort of start gearing up. Here's what's happening. You know, it's getting cold. I got to get worried. I got to wrap up. I got to make sure, as you said, I got my gloves on, not touching things. Germs hang around longer. So does it matter the language we use, what I'm saying, you know, I say as the winter months are upon us, or from a clinical standpoint, as a doctor, do you see this now as the winter months? And does it matter how we sort of view where we are in the time of the year and what we're doing to make sure we keep ourselves safe and clean and germ free? Well, I mean, we can't keep ourselves germ free, but you know where I'm going.
Well, right. Exactly. And, you know, with all the different changes in the weather, as we know, global climate, et cetera, we are looking now, we're seeing what we ordinarily could see in the winter months. Now, what the CDC and what the WHO is predicting is going to be worse. So we're having already a preview of what's coming. And we want to make sure that we are prepared for that, not only the tool chest, but the knowledge of what is happening and what our health conditions are. And how we can prevent it, be it high blood pressure, diabetes, respiratory illness, congestive heart failures, and begin to take charge. You know, I tell folks, this is your body, and only you are in charge. We are out here trying to help, you know, with navigating, helping you with your health, but you are in charge, and you're entitled to have good health. So the winter months are here, and we, you know, we're talking heat. We're inside. We often, when we are inside, we have more respiratory illnesses, respiratory droplets, you know, that because we're close proximities, but we want to make sure that we are aware of our health, pneumonia, pneumonitis, flu, and the like.
Dr. Corder, just for us older folks, as we're going out in the last minute, and even young folks, should we be accessing water fountains? Any of us, from the youngest to the oldest? Well, I guess there are a few. There's some in some schools, right?
Yes. Well, you know what?
There's not many. That's true.
We need to bring our own water, Bramante. We have to. I mean, I cringe if I have to use the water fountain because there's so many germs there. Your hands, people are touching and licking the water fountain. So that's not a wise thing to do. Now, if you're about to be dehydrated and you don't have any other source of fluid, and okay, but I think you need to have your own water bottle and make sure you're not sharing the water bottle.
You got it. In our last few moments, Dr. Corder, any other suggestions you have for parents or caregivers out there of young folks? And also, if folks just wanted to contact you after hearing this segment and seeing that you know your stuff and they wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
Well, real fast, I'm going to give you my office number. I'm a Washingtonian, been in practice forever, for over 30 years, and my office number is 202-291-0147. But on a more important note, what you want to do is just understand airborne illnesses are here, and you want to have your zinc lozenges, your tissues, your hand sanitizers, your fluids, your soups, and go back to old-fashioned things that, you know, you want to eat your vegetables and your fruits. And get your rest. It's very important to get your rest. You don't have to make every party, every social event. Rest helps you build your immune system. And I thank you, Bramante, for having me on this segment.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Corder. Always a pleasure to have you. And your insights and expertise is so welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
She is Dr. Marilyn Corder, pediatrician and adjunct professor at Howard University. That's the Daily Jum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, October 25th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a good night.